We're looking at the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at chapter 26. But before we do this, I want to talk about an election. Okay? Election is very, very important. I mean, we just got to cover this particular election if we're going to stand and be, if we're going to be successful in this life. Now, don't get uptight. I'm not talking about perhaps the election you might be thinking about, but there is an election mentioned in 1 Thessalonians. So take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to talk about this election before we get into the book of Acts, chapter 26. Okay, so in 1 Thessalonians, right, this little wonderful church epistle, in chapter 1, Thessalonians, we're going to go there first. Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. You know, the Christians had a beautiful prayer life, the believers praying for each other. It's a beautiful thing. And what were they thinking about, or what were they remembering, as it says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, believing, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing what, brethren, beloved, your
election.
Your election of God. We have been voted into the family of God by God Almighty. Okay? So that's the election we're excited about. Everybody had big parties and everything else by yesterday, maybe. But we can be grateful day in and day out because as born again ones, we have been elected, as it says here, by God. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also how?
Power.
In power. It just wasn't words. Anybody can say words, but power. Words with power. But in power and in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's where the power comes from, that gift of Holy Spirit that's in us. In as much assurance as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You know, those wonderful disciples and Paul and those guys, they really lived the word. And they recognized that they were elected by God, as all believers are. And that this gospel, the word of God, has power in it. And it's through the Holy Spirit that this power gets manifested. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Now, yeah, there were tough times. There were a lot of people against it. So it was with much affliction, but what else does it say? With joy of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can have, the adversary could cause some problems in your life, but you don't let that determine your joy. Your joy is in the Lord, right? Being born again, elected of God, having eternal life, the hope of Christ's return, you can't beat it, okay? And that should be a joyous reality for our hearts. Verse 7, so that we were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And that's what we want to be too. We want to be good examples of the Christian walk. But I know the election was on your mind, so I figured I'd show you what God's Word says, that you are elected into His party, all right? It's the God party. All right, well, let's go to Acts 26, okay? We've been working the book of Acts through the summer and into the fall here, and we're into chapter 26. Now, there's three, after this chapter 26, there's only two more left. And I've asked Dr. Pete Mancato to teach the next two chapters for us and close out the book of Acts. So he'll be teaching next Wednesday and then the following Wednesday to close out the book of Acts. And then we'll see what God wants us to do next, okay? Well, if you kind of remember here, poor Paul is dealing with these leaders, Roman puppets, if you will, in Israel. He goes to Caesarea. People come from Caesarea. They have him come before the kings, and they talk, and then they go back and forth. And for a couple of years, this goes on. And now we're at chapter 26, and he comes before King Agrippa. So King Agrippa is he's kind of the big wig around this whole area here of Israel. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." So he's pretty smart to kind of say, "King Agrippa, you're a pretty smart guy, aren't you? You'll know what we're talking about here." So he goes on, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews." Now in his youth, he was an academic prodigy. In other words, he was a smart guy. He was like Sheldon Cooper, what's his name? Sheldon on the TV program. He went to college when he was 11 years old or something. But anyway, obviously Paul was very intelligent. We know in other records he studied under Gamaliel, who was the number one Pharisee teacher of the Jews. So the Jews knew of Paul. They must have heard of Paul. As he grew up and became a Pharisee, a very young Pharisee. Verse 5, "which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be, though, a thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead?" You know, he's challenging this idea in light of Jesus being raised from the dead. "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem." Well, he was, as a Pharisee, he had people thrown in jail. He helped people get stoned to death. And of course we know he took a trip to Damascus to throw some more people into jail. But let's see what else he says here. which thing I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I put up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. But at midnight, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. They saw it too, is what he's saying. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. Now, the other folks with him probably were soldiers and that sort of thing. So Paul was hearing this from the Hebrew tongue. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Wow. You know, when it says here, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, it's kind of referring to how they plowed their land with the oxen. And they would have, the guy would be, you know, he'd have the ox in front of him, and he'd have a plow behind, strapped in. And to get that cow to move, he would prick him in the butt. He'd have a thing to poke him, and of course the thing, the cow or the bull, whatever, would move forward. And sometimes, if the old cow got upset, he would kick against the pricks. So that's what that's talking about. Okay. But lo and behold, he shares this, which people would understand, of course. And he says, I'm Jesus who thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Wow. Here's this voice from heaven saying, all this bad stuff you're doing, you're going to do the opposite. All these people you're persecuting, you're going to be on their side. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And here, Jesus Christ is telling Paul his purpose in life. And, you know, if we're going to have a successful life, we want to have purpose in it, don't we? We want to have purpose. We want to do something very worthy that has purpose, that has great respect, that God would honor. Well, Jesus Christ is talking here, and he says, Paul, you're going to open the eyes and turn them. And he's talking about the Gentiles there. Turn the Gentiles' eyes to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, set apart, sanctified by believing that is in me. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he sets you aside special only for him. So this is what Paul was called to do. And he had to, you know, he still had his brain. He wasn't brainwashed. But boy, oh boy, I'm sure he experienced all these Christians going through all these situations, being killed, being captured, being beat. And now he's going to be one of them. And here he is. And Jesus Christ is telling him what he's going to be doing. And, you know, I want to take a little side trip here in light of what this calling that God through Christ gave to Paul. And I want you to think about, okay, what has God called you to do? What has God called us as believers to do? Paul got quite a message here, right? And I don't think, you know, God worked out where Jesus Christ shined some big light in your life. Maybe so, I don't know, to do some fantastic thing for him. But in his word, he tells us what we are to do as his children. So we're going to come back here, obviously, and finish this. But I want you to look at 2 Corinthians for a moment, chapter 5. And this is written to the born-again believers, and it refers to our purpose in life. So 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Verse 18 in 2 Corinthians, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, believers, the ministry of reconciliation." So, God, through his Son, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, believers have the job, the purpose, to hold forth the word of life to others, to bring people, to reconcile them back to God. That's one of the great jobs we have that God has given to us to do. Okay? So let's read on here. We'll see it even a little bigger. "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them," not saying, okay, you screwed up, I don't like you anymore. No, he didn't impute their trespasses, "and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So not only did he give us the charge to reconcile people back to God, he gave us the ammunition to do it, the word. The word of God to do it. And then verse 20 here. "Now then, we are what?
Ambassadors
for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." So we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer is an ambassador. Now the question is, what kind of ambassador are we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want to be a good ambassador, bringing people, reconciling them back to God. And what a worthy endeavor that is, isn't it? Let's look at one other section in Philippians, and then we'll go back to the book of Acts and finish that. But let's go backwards here a little bit, or forward rather, to Philippians. All right. We'll go to Philippians chapter 2. Right before Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. Okay.
Philippians 2.
Philippians 2, verse 13. Here it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's pleasure is that he works through the believers to do the work of the ministry. What a wonderful reality that is. To do of his good pleasure, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. In spite of this crooked and perverse nation, how do we shine? As lights in this world. How do we shine as lights in this world? Read the next verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, there's going to be a day coming when Christ comes back to gather his believers, to take us up with him forever and ever. And when that time comes, may we rejoice in the day of Christ that we our life hasn't been running around in vain and laboring in vain, but that we have been able to hold forth the word of life. Isn't that something? And God can work with us to do that, and it can be very exciting to do that. Very exciting. So, I think of Paul when Jesus called him to the ministry to take on quite a leadership role and to do what he was called to do, challenged to do, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light and the power of Satan and unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we're all in the same boat here, and we have the same privilege to do that. So let's go ahead and read through here, because old Paul, he's talking, sharing his life and his ministry and how God is working through him and with him. And so verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet or adequate for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make you mad. But he said, Paul, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, wholeness. For the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in some corner. King Agrippa, this is Paul, he's getting pretty gutsy now. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa, this is the main king in that whole area there. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He's getting to him, but it was an almost. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except with these bonds. Isn't that cool? And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Now, if you remember, there's a point here that Paul appealed to Caesar because of his Roman citizenship. Any citizen of Rome could appeal to Caesar and could go all the way back to Italy, Rome, and share his case. It's like the Supreme Court, you know, going back to Caesar to appeal his case. So that's what's going to happen. Excuse me. It's going to happen. Paul is going to be taking a trip from probably outside of Caesarea there across the Mediterranean to Rome to Caesar. And I've got a bunch of maps here that, and earlier I know I gave you guys maps, but I tell you what, why don't we save these for next week, because this will help you see the trip that he took. Unless you want to take one tonight, you can do so. But and you folks that are calling in, you might grab a map in the back of your Bibles or somewhere where Paul goes to Rome as we read in the last two chapters of the book of Acts, okay? Okay, well, Father, thank you that we can read these records and see your heart, your love exposed. We can see believers, just see their example, how they dealt with things in their times. And I pray, Father, that we can deal in our times with great believing, great expectation, knowing it's the same, you're the same God, same Lord and Savior, same abilities, same power, same Holy Spirit. We've got it all, the same as they had. And I'm thankful that we in our time can go forth and hold forth the words of life. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.